Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. When you look up at night, at the stars twinkling in the inky black of space, you're actually taking part in a bit of time travel. That starlight has traveled through space, sometimes for millions of years, to reach Earth, to reach our eyes. We perceive the stars as they were when they cast off the light, however long ago that may be. Take that same principle and apply it to the cosmic background information, the microwave radiation that fills space in the observable universe. That radiation was emitted in the early moments of our universe, and by studying it, scientists can learn more about the formation of our cosmos. Last month, scientists created a new, more detailed map of that low background rumble of radiation in our universe. The U.S. National Science Foundation's Cosmology Large Angular Scale Surveyor, or CLASS, a collaboration led by Johns Hopkins University astrophysicists, created the maps. Joseph Eimer is a senior scientist on the CLASS project and the lead author of the study published in the Astrophysical Journal. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So I'm looking at the map created by the CLASS telescope, and we have linked to this map on the On the Record webpage, so listeners can look too if you like. It looks like an oval Petri dish inhabited by amorphous red and blue splotches. What am I looking at here?
Yeah, it's a great description. When we look out at the sky, we're sort of looking at the inside of the sphere of all the light coming in. But when we're printing a picture of that sky, it's hard to print this sphere on a flat piece of paper. We run into the same problem when we're drawing maps of the globe, and you have to come up with a projection of what that image looks like.
Okay, so that's the shape, but what about all these blobs? What are they?
So what we are measuring is the small fluctuations in the polarization of the light at the frequency that our telescope sees. And the primary light that you're seeing is light from our galaxy. So the Milky Way dominates the emission, and the light from the microwaves from our galaxy are sort of that bold band that you see across the center of this picture.
I mean, it's easy to think of it as sort of an equator across the middle of this oval. And in what's the old kind of data, satellite data, it's not as sharp.
That's right. Exactly right.
As this CLASS data. What's the significance of that?
Well, in our efforts to study the cosmic microwave background, we want to study the very early universe, the light from the very beginning of our universe's development. But we're sitting here in our galaxy, so we need to be able to distinguish the light from our galaxy from that background light.
And so how do you do that?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it's not simple, but one of the important things is to measure that foreground light very, very precisely. And this new measurement has improved dramatically from what satellites have done in the past of this foreground component. And so we'll be able to better clean our future data, removing this foreground component, and see that signal from the cosmic microwave background.
So I'm really struggling to understand what we can learn from this new data.
Sure. There's a few things. When we're trying to view that primordial signal, primordial, I mean the beginning of the universe, we use telescopes, we have to pick a frequency that we're looking in the sky. And the signal that we're looking for from the beginning of time isn't at all frequencies. It turns out it's brightest at a particular frequency. And at that same frequencies, we're getting large contributions from our galaxy. So we
that are much later.
Much later, yes. And so we arrange our experiment to look in a bunch of different colors. And it's kind of like we're trying to just be able to distinguish the different origins of light. And what this experiment, this new maps have been able to do is be able to better distinguish what light was from our galaxy and what light was from the beginning of the universe. It hasn't answered this question fully, but it's taken a significant step forward. And in particular, we've done this from the ground. In the past, we've had to go to space. So not only have we done this measurement from the ground, But we've even done better than what the satellite missions have done.
That's Joseph Eimer, a Johns Hopkins University associate research scientist working with the Cosmology Large Angular Scale Surveyor. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about the CLASS telescope, which was recently used to assemble a new, more detailed map of our universe. These results demonstrate novel strategies for studying the history of our universe. What is that strategy? How does it change scientists' approach to cosmology?
That's one of the most exciting things about this, is many experiments have looked for signals about the early universe on kind of a small patch of the sky. What we've done here is we've looked at 75% of the sky, huge fraction, almost all of the sky, to look for something that is extremely faint. And so we have to be able to distinguish it from a lot of other signals, not just the foregrounds that we were talking about before, like the Milky Way, but we also want to make sure we're not seeing artifacts from the ground or from atmospheric emission. And what we've done in this experiment is we've pioneered new ways to change only the part of the signal that we're interested in. What we do is we call it modulation. So we're modulating the specific signal that we're looking in, which means we're changing it in a special way so that we know we are looking at the signal from the sky and not some of these, what we call systematics, or not some of these errors that might contaminate our measurement. Normal experiments in our field don't use this modulation technique. And that new technique allows us to go not on just a small patch of the sky, but this giant patch of the sky.
You mentioned a few minutes ago that part of what's exciting about this research is that you could catch this from the ground. And when you say the ground, where is this telescope located?
Sure. Yeah, our telescopes are in Chile, and they're up on a very tall set of mountains in the Andes Mountains in northern Chile. The altitude is about 17,000 feet, so we're up at a very high altitude, so we're above a lot of the atmosphere. And being in the desert in Chile there, we also have low water vapor that would interfere with our measurements as well. So it's the best spot in the world for these kinds of measurements.
I can imagine someone listening to us kind of shrugging and saying, what does this research have to do with me?
Sure.
What do you tell them?
It's a great question, and there's many different ways to answer it. For one, it enriches our understanding about how the universe came to be. It helps fill in the story of our ultimate human history of where we began, how the universe evolved to create stars and planets and ultimately people. That beginning part is a big question mark and one that we can make progress on. So that's a sort of a beautiful opportunity for us to grow. There's also a lot of technological aspects of the project where we're inventing new technologies that could have lots of applications that are difficult for us to necessarily imagine because we're focused on one particular goal. But everything that we do is very open-ended. We publish what we design and discover, and hope that those new ideas inspire new technologies and new scientific endeavors, not just in the early science of the universe, but in all kinds of applied fields as well.
And so tell me a bit more, if you can, about what's to come.
Sure. So this is the data from our first telescope. We want to not just analyze the data from the other telescopes, but we need to use all of the data together to say this part of the light and signal is from this source, and the combination of the different light altogether tells us something very important about the beginning of the universe.
What attracted you to this kind of research?
I loved it because we're probing a fundamental question: what was the physics of the early universe like, with a sort of an astrophysical type tool like a telescope. Many times you would like to probe physics in the laboratory. It turns out for some things, the scale is too large to fit in the lab, and the universe itself is your lab. And it's just inspiring and humbling and exciting to probe these big questions in a group of people that's just as excited about it as you are, to find the answers about what the physics of the early universe was like, and hopefully understand at a more complete level what is the rules of the universe that we live in.
Well, thanks for giving us at least a little understanding of it.
My pleasure.
Joseph Eimer is a Johns Hopkins University associate research scientist working with the Cosmology Large Angular Scale Surveyor. You can find out more about that telescope and the new maps of our cosmos at the On the Record page at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Kast. Glad you're with us on the record. Come back tomorrow.